morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know, my name is Duncan. I'm going to be sharing a little bit tonight. And Michelle, who I started. Thanks, Michelle, for introducing my sermon there for you. Okay, so basically, what I feel, what I have had in my heart is a journey that the Lord has been taking me through and my wife through for the last 2 years. And I want to talk through a little bit because I really feel it's where kind of God wants to take us as well. I've titled it, The Just Shall Live by Faith. This is something that I've really been struggling with and going through the Lord, and He's been taking me through various things and us through various things. And I really want to talk about it because I really feel that this is, you know, at the moment we're talking about, we're in a season with God's will, and what I'm talking about, I feel, is the foundation of God's building. And once we have this foundation right, we can build a glorious house on it. Yeah, I spoke a couple of, I think a month or two back when we were doing Kingdom Sunday, of how with a house, if you've got a strong foundation, you know, you can build the biggest mansion possible on that foundation. But if your foundation is not strong, the house is not going to stand. Okay, it can be the most glorious palace ever, but if it doesn't have a good foundation, it's going to fall flat eventually. So the cracks are going to show, and it's going to fall. Alright, so I'm going to jump around a little bit in my story here, but I want to start with a scripture that I was reading a few months ago. I was going through, back to the thing, thank you. A small group member there. Alright, I was reading through Hebrews, alright, and specifically Hebrews 10. I was going through it, and Hebrews 10 verse 37 to 38, I haven't got it on the slides, so I'm going to read it to you. I was reading through this section, and there was a certain part of the scripture that, like, I'm sure a lot of us have experienced, you know, when you're reading a scripture and you've read it 100 times before, but it just shoots up at you. Something about it, something is different this time. Right? So Hebrews 10 verse 37 to 38 says, "For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay. For the just shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." And that little section that says, "For the just shall live by faith," shot up at me. There was something about that scripture that just caught my attention. And I didn't know what it was. Obviously, I realized, you know, in those times, the Holy Spirit's trying to tell me something. All right? And I started meditating on the scripture. And I thought, you know, what is God saying by that? What does that mean? Romans 1, which is the next one, also says, actually, this little passage or this little phrase is mentioned exactly the same thing is mentioned 4 times in the Bible. All right? This is another place, in Romans 1. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Okay. As I started kind of praying through it and going through it, I really felt there were two words there that really are important to understand. The one of them is to live. And the other one is obviously faith. Okay? So what I was thinking is, well, I was asking God, what does it mean? What does that scripture mean? You know, on the surface it sounds like, you know, the just shall live by faith. So we must trust God. Alright? We must trust God for whatever in our lives. Alright? Yes, it does that mean that. Alright? But I felt that there was something a little bit deeper that God wanted to reveal to me through this. Alright? And the first one is the live part. Okay? I really felt that God was saying there's a certain purpose and there's a certain life and to live in a certain way that we need to grasp. Okay? You can live and then you can live. Alright? You can live and then you can have life. Alright? And there's two separate things. And us as Christians have that opportunity. We can just live, alright? Kind of survive through life, you know, have our nice, comfortable little life, all right? Have a nice car, a nice house, a nice job, you know, a nice wife or husband. And, you know, go through life. You know, church is good, things are good, loving life, okay? Or we can have real life, all right? And what does that mean? Because I don't believe that Jesus came for that for us, okay? As nice as it sounds, and a lot of us aspire to that, actually. Okay, we aspire to having a nice car, a nice house, you know, where you know we can retire early, take our pension, and have a nice last few years of our life. You know, that's what I want in life. That's what I want. You know, don't ask me to do anything crazy. I'll come to church. You know, I'll talk about God at work, but leave it at that. Okay, but I believe that Jesus called us for something better than that. Okay, and yes, that stuff sounds nice, but I think there's something that's more satisfying that Jesus called us to. You know, that comfortable life sounds good, but that I don't believe is where we find satisfaction. All right, and I want to talk about, I want to go through about where I feel, or what I feel God is wanting from us. Okay, the other one, so that's to live. The other one is obviously faith. Okay. Now, as I said, there's lots of different, you know, faith is quite a big word. It means quite a few things, all right? But I was asking God, what do you mean? How do we live by faith? What does that entail? So that was a few months ago. But kind of my journey that God has been taking me on, kind of started a little bit before then, all right? And about a year or two back, I was a teacher, and, you know, when I never studied teaching, but, you know, the Lord really led me to it. But from the beginning, when I started teaching, I always knew that I wouldn't be a teacher for the rest of my life. This was just a time period where God was teaching me something. And about 2 years ago, I kind of felt things were probably starting to come to an end with that phase. And I had a real desire to start my own business. And so I was praying through it, and, you know, obviously, I don't want to do anything without the Lord's leading. You know, you've got great plans, but they're not God's plans, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. All right? And especially with something like starting your own business, okay, it can fall flat, and flat in a big way. So I was praying through, and I was asking God for a scripture, something that, you know, that I could kind of rely on, you know, so that you know, He's telling me I'm going for it. And I felt that we were worshiping the one evening in church, and I felt the word Jesus say, "Come." That was the word, and then I got reminded of that scripture in Matthew 14, right, where it says here. Right, so it says there, not the scripture, the way that it says, thanks, Boogie. Okay, so it says there, you can all follow. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when the evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand towards him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Okay, now this is the scripture that I felt the Lord gave me to kind of, you know, give me the go ahead or whatever. Right? And when I read the scripture, I really started meditating on it. You know, and my life, I like things to be in place, okay, personally. I like my comfort. You know, I like that at a certain day of the month, I get a certain amount of salary. Okay, all right? I know that this is going to happen at this time and that. So for me to start my own business meant all of that stuff was going away. All right? And, you know, I couldn't rely on any of those things. I couldn't rely on my salary. All right? I couldn't rely on my insurance. Okay? And, you know, suddenly for me, yes, I had this desire to start my business, but I was, to be honest, I was scared. Okay? Because suddenly it meant that I had to trust the Lord for something bigger. Okay? I had to now trust Him for more. Because if He didn't catch me in this situation, I was going to sink big time. Right? And if you look at the scripture, there were a couple of things, and this is what I felt the Lord tell me. I felt that He said that all I need to do, I need to step out the boat, because He's calling me, alright? But all I need to do is keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. And if I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, I'll walk in the water. Okay? And that's what I felt, alright? Now, saying it is a lot easier than doing it. Okay? I've realized, you know, often, to keep your eyes on Jesus, it sounds easy, but it is really difficult at times. Because if you look at the scripture, when Peter came out from the water, the sea was not calm. Okay, and that's the other thing I felt, is that I felt that God was saying He's not necessarily going to take away all the waves and all the winds, alright? But all I need to do is keep my eyes on Jesus. And if I do that, I will walk on water, alright? In a pretty resistant sense. I love to ritual. The other thing that I felt is that, you know, my safety was found at that point. I realized more and more my safety was found in the boat. It wasn't found in Jesus, actually. You know? And the safe, in that scripture, or that passage, the safest place to be was with Jesus, actually. It wasn't in the boat. Okay? And that's what I realized, is that I need to get out of the boat. I need to start trusting God. Alright? And I need to go be where Jesus is. Alright? You know, Jesus is not always in the most comfortable place. He's not always in the boat. A lot of the times He's out there where the winds are hectic, the waves are hectic, but that's where He calls us to be. Okay? And so that was kind of the scripture. And as I said, it's been a lot harder than I originally thought about guys and Jesus sons. But I can tell you, when the winds and the waves come, it's not easy, right? And when you look at what Peter, as soon as Peter started focusing on the winds and the waves, what started happening? He started sinking. Okay, when fear came in, he took his eyes off Jesus, and then he started sinking. Right? And our goal, our purpose in life, I feel, is God is saying, get out of the boat, okay? But keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. Because that is where the safest place is going to be. Alright. So, now, through all of this, and when I read that scripture in Hebrews 10, I started asking God, what is faith? Give me a definition of what faith, what does it look like? You know, yes, I can trust God for a nice house or a nice car, but is that really faith? Is that really what God is asking us to do? You know? Is there not something more that He's calling us to do? And then I really feel God led me to this book. Guys, if you really want to get challenged, read this book. It's called Don't Waste Your Life by John Piper. Alright? Other than the Bible, I think this is probably the most challenging book I've ever read. Because, you know, in this book, he's not trying to sell things, okay? He really gets to the point, alright? And, I mean, I've had this book for years, but I've read it when I bought it, and then I never read it again. Then I saw it on the bookshelf a couple of weeks ago, and I picked it up, and I just started reading the first one, and I was like, well, this is hectic, what he's saying. And in there, in that book, he talks about faith. There's a chapter where he says, what does faith look like? And I really felt that God had led me, this is what I mean by faith. And this is what he says when he says, what is faith? John Piper, defines faith as trust or confidence you put in someone who has given good evidence of their reliability and willingness and ability to provide what you need. Okay, that is faith. Alright. Now, when we look at the biblical faith, because in that you can, you know, faith can be whatever, you know. Someone can give you something and you can have faith for that, you know, or God can give you, you can have faith for a car. But when it says to provide what you need, if we look at the Christian context of that, what is it that we need? What is the ultimate thing that we need? We need Jesus. Jesus is what we need. Because if we don't have Jesus, everything else is insignificant, it's meaningless. Okay? Jesus is what we need. So in the biblical context, faith, real faith, is Jesus. Okay? If we believe, if we desire, and our delight is in Jesus, then we have faith. Alright? But, you know, a lot of people, a lot of us think we have faith, alright? And maybe we do have faith, but a lot of the times, what we have faith for is not necessarily the person Jesus. It's more for what he can give us. You know? We trust God, we say, Lord, you know, I have faith for whatever it is. I have faith for a car or a house or whatever. And those things are great, and God does want to give up. Bless us with those things. But we often, we chase after and we desire the gifts that God is giving us rather than the giver. Okay? And when we do that, I don't think we actually have faith. Okay? He goes on to say, in the book over here, it says, if we only trust Christ to give us gifts and not himself as the all-satisfying gift, then we do not trust him in a way that honors him as our treasure. We simply honor the gifts. They are what we really want, not him. And, you know, that struck me, because I realized in my life as well, there, a lot of the times, that's what I'm after. Okay? I'm after God giving me, I'm trusting God to give me a nice job, okay? A nice car, a nice house, a nice life, you know? God must give me a comfortable life. Don't rock the boat here. I just want a comfortable life. I want to be able to retire when I'm 65 and relax from there. Right? But that is not faith, okay? So real faith, to me, is when we completely and utterly find our delights in Jesus. The greatest gift that God can give us is Jesus. Alright? And if that is our desire, right, nothing else, then I believe that we've reached that ultimate faith. Okay? And from there, we can find true life, a satisfying life. Okay? All of us, Angus Buchan, those of you who were there, we talked about this as well. You know, finding what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? What does it mean to actually live? You know, to have that satisfying life? Does it mean all of these comforts, or does it mean something more? Okay, what is the purpose of life? Alright? And, you know, I think that the purpose of life is twofold. Alright? The first and the ultimate purpose of life for us as Christians is to glorify Him. That is why we live. Okay? That is why God has created us, to glorify Him. Okay? And that should be our ultimate goal, is to glorify Christ. To glorify God. You know, if we are in this life for ourselves, we are not going to find satisfaction. I can guarantee you that. Okay? Because the ultimate satisfaction, the ultimate purpose in life is to glorify Him. When we do that, that is when we will find satisfaction in life. That is when we will experience true life and true purpose in life. Right. And it's a hard thing to grab around, alright? Because, you know, in the Western culture, the way that we grew up, you know, a lot of it is about ourselves. Okay? Friends talking about it as well. Us being narcissistic, is that the right word? Okay? Where everything is, we're focused on ourselves. Okay? And even we bring that into our Christian faith as well, our Christian lives. You know? We dress it up with all Christian concepts, but often we're in it for ourselves. You know? We're not, all that we want from God is, you you know, just a nice job, or just a nice whatever it is, a nice life, okay? But, and we go around and we don't actually find true satisfaction, right? Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, everyone who's called by my name, who I've created for my glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Right? 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay? So that Paul's saying there, that what, even the thing that seems kind of insignificant, just to be eating and drinking. Right? If you look at the context, he's also talking about how we eat and drink and that type of thing. But what he's saying is that even in those things, we can give glory to God. Alright? So in whatever we do, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20, which is not up over there, it says, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Okay? So that is our purpose in life. Alright? And when we can find how to glorify and how God wants to lead us to glorify Him, that's when we're going to find satisfaction. Alright? Now within that, one of the greatest ways I believe that we can glorify God is to delight in His presence.
Right.
And delight in Jesus. Because we're having a goal soon, so decided to put that up. My wife says that often when I put up stuff like this, then it has nothing to do with the sermon, it just looks cool, so I want to put it in there somehow, so I try to fit it in. So she says that picture was that as well, so I don't know, you guys can judge, but I think it's cool. Okay, so within that, one of the greatest purposes, or the greatest way that we can glorify God is to delight in His presence, to delight in Jesus. Alright? John Piper again, not in this book, but somewhere else. I'm thinking John Piper at the moment. He says, we most glorify God when we are most satisfied with Him. Alright? So, Isaiah 26, verse 8 there says, yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. John 17, verse 3 says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Psalm 37 verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Okay? When we delight ourselves in the Lord, suddenly our desires are aligned with His desires. Okay? And when they're aligned with His desires, then He can start giving it to us. Because suddenly we want what's on His heart, not what's on our own heart. Okay? Now, you know, one thing that, if we get this right, and this is what I'm coming down to, this is what I believe is real faith, is delighting in Jesus. Okay? Because when we delight in Jesus, our lives take a completely different look. Okay? Suddenly our priorities shift, okay, from our own comforts to what is going to glorify God the most. Okay? And sometimes what glorifies God the most is not what is comfortable. Okay? It's not what we would choose. Okay? But it's what God would choose. Okay? In our house, we've got one of these things. We can put a picture up of the next one. No. Good, would you? The one with the, is it not there? Okay. Alright, anyway. So, what I had a picture of there before my slides got destroyed.
Sure.
Yes, that one, yes. Thank you. I'm only joking. Was it? Alright, so we've got one of these things in our home, okay? And I think it's called a diffuser.
Yes.
Diffuser. Okay, now, the way that it works is you've got, for those of you who don't know, some of the guys, I don't know how it's working. You've got this like aroma stuff here. Okay? you put these sticks into it, okay? And then the sticks soak the thing up, alright? And then it gives off a cool smell. Right? I'll be a salesman for these guys. So that's what it looks like. Okay? That's how it works. Alright? And you know, this is a very good picture of how our lives work. You know? If this is the presence of God, alright, if we are delighted and we are immersed in the presence of God, you know what happens? Is our lives take that presence of God and it gives it as an aroma. Okay? 2 Corinthians 2:15-16 says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ, alright, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. For who is sufficient for these things?" Now, this caught me as well. It's like the aroma of death, but it doesn't sound very cool. Alright? But take note that the scripture doesn't say the stench of death. Okay, it says the aroma of death. So there's something that's attractive to the non-believer. Alright? And you know, when we start immersing ourselves and we start delighting in the presence of Jesus, this is what happens. Okay? You know, often I think in today's world, why aren't people really attracted to the church? You know? Often, a lot of the times it's like this, everyone stays away. There's no, people are not coming often, right? There are people, obviously, right? But I believe that this is the problem. I believe that us in the church, we're not immersing ourselves enough in the presence of Jesus, okay? And therefore, we're not giving off enough of an aroma. And so, people in the world are not smelling Jesus, okay? They're not tasting, they're not seeing it, okay? They're not attracted to it because there's no aroma, all right? And that's where we've got to be, all right? That's where, if our lives are immersed in that, we give off that aroma, okay? People are attracted to that. Right? For some people, it's an irritating smell almost because it shows something that they don't want. They're rebellious. Okay, but for other people, they so desire something like this. They don't know it, but that's what they desire. They desire that aroma. All right, well, they desire Jesus, which is the aroma. Okay, but you know, when we find our delight in Jesus. Okay, our lives take on a different path. Okay, it looks different. What we chase after is not our comfort. Okay, and it's not something that's going to be nice for us. It's something that's going to glorify God. Okay, and you know, in the Christian context, all right, that often means suffering for us as Christians. Okay. You know that Jesus never promised an easy life to us. Okay? And if you were ever sold that, if you gave your heart to the Lord, unfortunately that was wrong. Okay? God doesn't offer an easy life, He offers us an all-satisfying life. Okay? He comes to be our complete satisfaction, not to be our comfort. Okay? And you know that's something that I've learned as well, okay, through last year as well. In our lives, that in times of complete suffering and real tough times, you know, we all go through it. It says in Romans 8:16-17, I think I'm here, okay. Okay, it says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Okay, hard scripture. Okay. It basically, there's another part, but it basically says, Jesus says to us, in this world you will have tribulation, okay, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Okay, so God, Jesus never promised an easy life for us. Okay, what He did promise was His presence with us if we want it. Alright, when we have His presence, we realize that is all we need. Okay, because, you know, if I look at in the New Testament, I look at someone like Paul, alright, in fact all the disciples, and I look at their lives and what they had to go through, alright, and I think to myself, how did they go through all of that stuff? Okay? How is it that, I think it was Peter who got crucified upside down, okay, because he didn't want to take the glory of the cross of Jesus. I mean, that is radical. How does someone like that, how do you do that? Because if I look at that, I couldn't do that. Alright? some of the stuff that Paul had to go through. And I think to myself, why? How did he get the strength to do it? And what I realized is that Paul found something that was more satisfying than the comforts in his life. Okay, he found the presence of Jesus, and he was willing to do anything, all right, to glorify God, all right? Whether it meant suffering for him, okay, whatever it meant, he was willing to go through it, okay? And he brought glory to God, right, through all of his suffering. And often in our lives, you know, when we look at that, when we have our delight in Jesus and we are, our purpose in life is to glorify God, then suffering in our lives, we look at it as a situation where we can glorify God. Okay? And a seamlessly hopeless situation turns into something that can glorify God. Okay? Last year, another testimony in our lives, last year, my wife was pregnant, and we had a little boy. It was a boy, Joshua David. And when he was overdue, right? He'd come his full term, and he was a week overdue, and just for no reason, his heart stopped. And it was a stillborn birth. And you know, to me, that was the hardest time of my life. Okay? To me, that was like a hopeless situation. I looked at that and I was like, God, why? I had so many questions about why God would do this. What went through? You know, why did we have to go through this? And, you know, in that time, I experienced God's presence like I had never experienced in my life before. Ever. And what I realized in that, and, you know, through that whole situation, you know, we said to the Lord, God, let's get the glory here. We don't know how. We don't know. It seems such a hopeless situation, but have your glory, okay? And through that, you know, in that situation, I was terrified. Okay? Obviously, Anae had to give birth, and you know, it was like I was scared out of my mind going into that hospital to give. When Anae was giving birth, I thought that it was going to kill me, that to just see that whole situation. And in that situation, both of us, and Anae can also say, we had so much peace. Right? We felt the presence of God. So, like I said, I've never experienced God's peace like that, and God's presence like that. And after that, you know, the days after that, we experienced how God took that situation, and He used it for His glory, right? And so many people were touched by the whole story, and we looked at it, and I was shocked, because in that situation it was so hopeless, and it seemed like it was just death, you know, it was just nothing, you know, and that made me realize that, and I saw in that how God can take suffering and tribulations, and use it for His glory, right? And I can tell you now that is not how I would give glory to God at all, right? I would definitely not choose that way, right? And, you know, there were times, you know, through that, there were times when I doubted, and I felt like God had left us and whatever, but I saw through that whole situation, and I'm still seeing how God got glory in that situation, and through our suffering, and through a time that was terrible for us, God got glory. You know? And yes, it wasn't how I would choose my life to pan out, but He got the glory. Okay? And you know, I know that Joshua David was in heaven at the moment with Jesus. But you know, God got that glory, and that's my satisfaction. You know, in that hopeless situation, because I can see God's glory in that situation, I'm satisfied. Okay, because it wasn't a hopeless situation. You know, sometimes I thought, what is going on here? You know, but God got so much glory in that situation, and that brings satisfaction. Okay, and that's where we've got to be in our lives as well. You know. You know, because God, if we start saying, Lord, I delight in your presence, and my life's purpose is to satisfy, is to glorify you, then it takes us into places that we wouldn't normally enter in for our own choice. Okay? And there's a lot of us that God is calling us into places that are not comfortable. Okay? They're not what we would choose. Alright? Maybe God is calling you, and it doesn't mean that God is calling for everyone. God is calling us to leave our job and go somewhere else or do whatever. Okay? But there's certain things that God is calling, and I believe there's certain things that God is speaking to certain of us to do, and we don't want to do it because it's not going to be comfortable, and it's going to kind of shift we've got our life planned out, alright? But, and God is coming in and he's saying something that's kind of taking our life's purpose a little bit where we didn't want it to go, alright? And I believe that the key, if we want to really follow what God has in each of our real lives, if we want to follow what God has, the purposes God has for us, we need to do this. Because when we delight in Jesus, then we are willing to do whatever to glorify him. Okay? Because we know that his presence goes with us. Okay? And no matter what we go through, I will be satisfied. I'm not going to be satisfied with, you know, my nice house and my nice car and my nice job and everything. And that's great. And God has called us to a certain job that is amazing. I'm not taking that away. Okay, what I'm saying is that our satisfaction, when our satisfaction is in Jesus, we are willing to go where he leads us. Okay? And that could mean tough times. Alright? If you look at the first scripture, go to the next one. Alright, it says there, the little thing I said, storms are inevitable. In nature, powerful tempests leave a change in the landscape behind them. Similarly, challenging circumstances, can alter the direction of our life. When difficulties arise, you say to the Lord, I'm doing what you ask, so why is this happening? Such thinking assumes that being in the center of God's will exempts us from problems. In Matthew 14, we learn that Jesus instructed the disciples to get into the boats and go ahead of him to the opposite shore. While they were remaining in high winds and waves of earth, the truth is storms can arise even when we are exactly where God wants us to be. Okay? And that's a hard one, because God often leads us to times and to things that are not comfortable and not easy. Okay? But his promise is that he will be with us. Alright? And that is where the satisfaction comes. That is how Paul could go through everything that he went through. Okay? If you read in a certain passage, I don't know where it is exactly, but he talks about everything that he had to go through. Okay? And he says he counts it all as rubbish just to gain the knowledge of Jesus. He had such a delight in Jesus that he was willing to do whatever Jesus wanted him to do. Okay? Even if it meant suffering and hard times, because he knew that God was going to get the glory in that situation. And in our lives, we've got to be doing that. Okay? As I said, it does not mean we could necessarily quit our jobs and go somewhere else. It might mean that for some of us. Okay? But God is calling us to a life that gives a fragrance and aroma of Jesus. Okay? And that life means that we are completely and utterly delighted and dependent on him. Right? When we have that, when we know that, then we are willing to do whatever for Jesus. Okay? It doesn't matter what he calls us to do. Okay? That is a life of power. Right? God goes with us. His presence goes with us. And we see people change. Right? We see God glorified in that. Okay? So, I think we can all stand. So, I mean, yeah, guys, it's kind of a hard word, and I wish I could tell you that, you know, when we come to Jesus, your life is going to be all roses and whatever, you know, but I can tell you something better, okay? I can tell you that Jesus is always going to be with you. His presence will always be with you, no matter what he calls you to, no matter what you go through, his presence is with you, if you want it, okay? And I really believe that we need to find, as a congregation, we need to find our complete delight in Jesus. That's what I'm trusting the Holy Spirit.